foe wasn't meshing properly, the hunter could be toppled. Ryan examined his options. He knew that the thing was programmed to be lightning fast, but a man would have the edge in maneuverability. Plus, he could see that this hunter was well along in years and use, and he'd heard Lucas say that the champion had been beaten before. Ryan slid the panga from the oiled leather sheath and took an offensive stance, balancing himself on the balls of his booted feet.
Come on, you cold-hearted tin can. Bring it on.
Ryan squatted, still keeping his back straight and his eye on the android as he moved around the arena floor. After a second or two of feeling around with his free hand, he found what he was searching for.
Heads up, Clanky.
He threw the ball tossed down earlier to start the match. The ball hurtled toward the droid, thrown with all of Ryan's might. The rubber sphere whizzed through the air. The rubber sphere hit high on the clear dome of the sectroid's head before bouncing up wildly into the air. Interestingly enough, the droid had made no effort to dodge the ball. Ryan started to feel even more confident until the modified sec hunter hopped up like a frog, bounding once, twice, three times before almost landing right on top of Ryan's unprotected skull. Ryan dodged and slashed out with the panga, aiming at an exposed metal cable in the bot's hip joint. The blade had about as much effect on stopping the sec hunter as the rubber ball. The android swung its monkey arms high, right where Ryan's head would have been if he hadn't already decided to go low. Ryan stayed in motion and swung his leg in a desperate roundhouse kick. The only good the blow did was to leave a black smear across the clear dome of the opponent's observation bubble.
No good, shit face!
Before Ryan could give a retort, his foe chose to undertake another of the rabbit-like leaps straight up into the air. But this time when it landed, Ryan was on the receiving end, pinned down hard.
Fire blast! Get off my gut!
Gritting his teeth, Ryan pushed back with his left forearm while jamming the panga into one of the small cracks in the repaired areas on the droid's chest. He worked the blade back and forth, striving to find an in.
Fuck you, asshole!
Fuck you!
Ryan shoved with all of his remaining strength. The droid flew back as if it had been launched like a torpedo, rolling over on one side and using its strong steel arms to try to push itself back up. Ryan leapt onto the machine's back, keeping his head low as he locked his legs around its middle and hooked his arms under the metal appendages. The droid struggled in Ryan's grip as he applied pressure, using the moment to try to catch his breath as he rode the metal unit around the pit. This avenue of attack was unfamiliar to the hunter. Usually, prey tried to stay away, not come in and stay attached. The obvious tactic of lunging backward and smashing Ryan into a curved pit wall was a tactic not programmed into the device's defense computer, so all it could think of to do was spin and hop. Ryan hung on, squeezing the droid's arms back even harder. He felt one of the droid's shoulder sockets start to give, and a small burst of sparks flashed out from the joint. He focused renewed energy on the spot, feeling his own recently injured shoulders start to throb in reflected agony. Then, in a spray of sparks, the entire arm ripped free. Ryan was flung backward when the arm gave away, carried by the momentum. He landed on his feet and staggered back, as the droid began to thrash and buck in place. Ryan got a grip on the severed arm and swung it like a baseball bat, smashing it across the side of the bot's face. The hunter fell like a cut tree to the floor of the pit.
I'd rip off your arms and beat your ass with...
He smashed the steel rod again and again over the clear housing of the sec hunter's head. He had already decided he wasn't going to stop until the glass-like substance shattered. Christy came running through the lower stage door, with Mildred close behind. Dean, Jack, and Doc remained in the stands with JB, who had been unable to clearly see the battle from their viewpoint at the top of the pit.
Thanks to Gaia. Ryan, stop now. Stop.
Christy's pale skin flushed a deep pink, in a mix of relief and excitement now that the combat had ended with Ryan the victor. Her hair coiled and rippled along her skull as she tried to penetrate the killing rage that had fueled Ryan's victory. Ryan brought down the arm a final time across the machine's upper torso before allowing the steel limb to fall from his fingers. He staggered a little as the pain from his broken toes made itself felt. Mildred looked at Christy, her face tight with concern.
He appears to be all right, but I need to examine him.
She helped Christy support Ryan as they walked him away from the eyes of the cheering crowd. They passed twin techies in coveralls and tool belts who had also come out running to try to see to the damage to their own champion. One turned a peevish look at Christy.
He didn't have to rip his damn arm off.
Piss off before I go pick up that arm and beat your heads in myself.
After taking care of Ryan's fractured toes and getting the prize chit for the match, Mildred and JB waited at Dr. Clark's office as he finished up with another patient. Now that they had the jack, the man was very happy to have their business. Mildred's lips twisted in a wry smile that Dr. Clark was too busy to notice as he hurried over to JB.
I am sorry for keeping you, Mr. Dix. Please come back with me.
Do you want company?
No.
Whoa. Excuse me for asking.
I mean, no thank you. I'd rather do it myself.
JB couldn't quite meet Mildred's gaze as she studied her lover with an odd expression.
I'll wait out here, then.
This shouldn't take long. Usually what eats up the time is the trial and error of matching the right lenses to his eyes. I don't have the luxury of writing him a prescription and sending him on his way. We have to go through the boxes, hoping to find frames and lenses in the same package that fit.
Mildred nodded and headed out. JB turned and followed the doc to the back. The examining room was lined with shelves on three sides and a salmon pink series of upper cabinets and lower cabinets. A black countertop ran along the tops of the lower. The fourth wall was dotted with various eye charts and diagrams of the interior of the eye. Some gear that JB didn't recognize was on wheels in a corner. Four three-legged stools were lined up along one of the cluttered counters.
You do a lot of business? With glasses, I mean?
Sure. No matter what, you've got people with failing vision. I do some work with contact lenses, too. But those are much more troublesome to match up to an individual, and finding proper cleaning fluid's a bitch.
Clark peered intently at JB's open eyes. His attention was drawn to the white slashes of the various adhesive bandages on JB's frowning visage.
What happened to your face, if you don't mind my asking?
Cut myself shaving.
On your forehead?
Well, that's why I need glasses.
Very well, but I warn you now, you're going to have to talk to me if you want my help. I have no use for a man who grunts and speaks in monosyllables. If I'm to treat you, I must have your cooperation.
I'm used to keeping my own counsel.
You don't have to with me, not in here. Did you know that before pre-dark, half the population of the United States wore some kind of glasses or corrective lenses?
Half? I don't see that many people running around with specs anymore.
I know. In those days, increased life expectancy was the cause for the added eye strain. See, around, the year 1900 or so, the average lifespan of an American was only 47 years. Disease and hard manual labor combined to kill a man much earlier than about the same time when his vision began to fail due to natural causes.
Now, everything's got to wear out.
Agreed. However, by the year 2000, a man's lifespan had increased to 75 years.
Really?
Yes. So not only were people living longer, but they were better educated, which meant more reading, and much of the technology was vision-driven, which caused even more wear on the eyes. Television and comp monitors? Very bad. Then after we managed to take out most of civilization with nukes and chems and God knows what else, another 100 years pass, and in a century's time, the life expectancy rate has dropped to a dreadfully low figure.
How do you figure that?
I keep my own records. No Census Bureau to track it anymore. Now please sit over there on the edge of the stool and face me.
JB did as he was told, grateful that the stool was covered with a spongy yellow pad.
I'm going to hold up a finger.
I'm not drunk, Doc.
This isn't a sobriety test. This is for ocular movement. When I hold up my finger, please watch it as I move it back and forth. Keep your eyes glued to the finger, but don't move your head.
All right.
Clark slowly moved the finger in a broad H-shaped motion.
I would dare say, due to disease and malnutrition, even with today's shorter lifespans, many men and women could use a pair of glasses. Children, too. But expense and ignorance conspire to keep them trapped in their own self-imposed blur, squinting and straining to see the world around them.
JB thought of some of the squalid conditions of the villes and outposts he'd traveled through, and of the faces of the poor and helpless he'd seen.
There are parts of Deathlands where lousy vision could be considered a blessing, Doc.
Quite. When did you receive your first pair of eyeglasses, Mr. Dix?
Way back. I'd noticed my vision was starting to go in my early teens. I was having trouble with distance, but up close was fine. Reading wasn't getting harder.
Wait, you read?
Hell yes, I read.
No reason for anger, Mr. Dix. Just making sure for my records. What do you like to read?
The information on blasters, rifle and pistol journals, blaster specs, anything I can find, use, and tuck away in my brain. Even the history of the weapons long gone and extinct. I'd like to know about them all, just in case I ever do see one.
Practical, I suppose.
Damn straight. But like I say, my eyes are starting to bother me, so I'd been trying to figure out how to get some specs. Then I got lucky. I got them in a trade. Rolling medicine man in a horse-drawn wag. Had pills, needles, bottles, and a big steamer trunk of glasses. I sat down and started trying on pairs until I found a set that worked.
So you knew even then your vision needed correcting?
It wasn't so bad then. I could read fine. Needed help seeing far off, but I could shoot if I squinted down hard and refocused.
I had wondered by your demeanor and weaponry if you might be a sec man. Your reading interests confirm my suspicions.
I just try to get by, and I need my eyes to do it.
Of course! Would you read the letters off the chart on the wall behind me, please? Start with the third line.
Clark stood and took a thin wooden pointer. He gestured with it to the top of the chart. JB automatically squinted.
QGTX.
Without squinting, please.
QGTX.
Fourth line.
QP.
Fifth line.
Or is that a V? Ah, shit, those letters are tiny.
Sixth line.
JB squinted, waiting for Clark to tell him to stop. Not that an admonishment from the doctor would have mattered, since the squinting didn't help.
I can't see the sixth line.
Very well.
Clark stepped to one side and wheeled over a large device that appeared to be a high-tech pair of binoculars mounted on a bracket between two enormous steel drums, one per side. He rolled the unwieldy apparatus up to JB's face and lowered the binocular section until it was even with the armorer's eyes.
Is it bad, not being able to see that line?
No. I wish you still had your other pair of spectacles so I could compare your vision with and without them. But we'll have to make do.
What's this hunk of metal I'm peeping through?
This is a corrector, Mr. Dix. I'm going to switch by hand various kinds of lenses inside this device until you are able to see the eye chart more clearly. This is a much quicker way and can be handled without putting on and taking off 1,000 pairs of glasses. We'll start with the right eye. Each time I change the lenses, let me know if you can see better or if the lens has decreased your vision even further.
Better? Worse? Better. About the same. Better.
The small man made notes on a sheet of paper as he worked.
Okay, left side.
Worse. Worse. Better. About the same. Better.
Clark made more notations. Finally, he opened both sides of the binocular-like device and allowed JB to peer through at the same time.
This is great! I can see even better than I could with my old glasses.
I'm not surprised. Vision changes over time, Mr. Dix. Still, 20/40 vision in one eye and 20/30 in the other with corrective lenses isn't very good eyesight.
Good enough for me.
Clark wheeled the correction mechanism back to the corner and took up his seated position in front of JB once more.
I need to do one more test. Then comes the hard part. I have to find an existing pair of lenses and frames. I have no way of manufacturing or cutting the glass myself.
Well, actually, I need two pairs. How do you get glasses, anyway?
I buy them. I have a standing offer of Jack for any pair of prescription glasses in decent condition. One fellow brings in pairs by the dozens.
While talking, Clark picked up an eye patch from the table.
What's the patch for?
It's not a patch. It's an occluder. I'm going to run an accommodative and convergence test. At your age, you need to know what kind of physical shape your eyes are in. And a few more tests will give you a complete exam. Well, as complete as I can do, anyway. You might as well finish. You are paying for the package.
Guess so. Go ahead, then.
A reader card was moved up to each of JB's eyes while the test was conducted. Clark then used a pocket pencil flash to see if his patient's pupils responded properly by constricting.
Your left eye, which is your strong eye, isn't responding according to procedure.
What does that mean?
I want you to be honest with me. Your future eyesight may depend on it. I need to know when you first noticed that your glasses perhaps weren't as effective as before. Take firing with your blaster, for example. Are shots you were making previously now taking longer to line up? Are they as accurate as before?
Well, I suppose I noticed some vision loss a year back, maybe two. It's hard to say.
I understand. On a day-to-day basis, one doesn't notice such things. Describe what you're seeing right now.
Well, I see you.
You're looking directly at me. Use your peripheral vision. What's to the left? No, damn it, don't move your head.
JB froze, angered by the doctor's outburst, and angered by what the optician had stumbled onto.